This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Lahu alhamdul hasan wa thana'u al-jameel. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah al-malik al-haq al-mubin. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah al-mab'uth rahmatan lil-alameen. Wa anna asdaq al-hadithi kitabullahi ta'ala. Wa khair al-hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa shar al-umur muhdathatuha. Wa kulla muhdathatin bid'a. Wa kulla bid'atin dalala. Wa kulla dalalatin fil-nar. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Granter of Mercy, all praise and glory belongs to Allah, Lord of the Worlds. Indeed, Allah is deserving of the best of thanks and the most beautiful of praises, those that we say and far above anything we can say. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah alone without any partners, the true Supreme King. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was indeed in truth his prophet and his servant and his messenger, the best of his creation, the seal of his revelation, the most beloved of the slaves of Allah to Allah, whom he sent as a mercy to the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we testified, the most truthful of speech, bar none, is the book of Allah, the great glorious Qur'an, and the best of guidance, the sunnah, the example of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the most dangerous of matters are the newly added matters to this religion, for everything you add to this already perfected, already completed way of life will involve removing something of that perfection from it first. That's why he warned us against that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, beware of every newly added matter into this deen, for that would be a leading astray. That only leads to the fire. May Allah protect us and our families and the people of Tawheed and every sincere seeker from any belief, statement, or action that would bring us closer to the fire. Allahumma ameen. May Allah make every step we took towards this place in our scale of good deeds, and make all of our actions righteous, make them sincerely for his sake, remove us from this room better than we entered into it. I was asked to speak about lacing our hearts with his love, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And basically, I wish to give you a bit of a practical discussion on why and how to develop the love of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in your hearts, so that after the highs and lows, the highs of the lecture, and then the lows of the meals, and then the highs of the reminder, and then the lows after you wake up again, you have a game plan, right? You don't need that constant stimulation to do it. So lacing our hearts with his love, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing we need to know is that lace is a decor, right? We decorate with lace. And loving him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the decoration of your life because it is part of iman. And the hadith of Ammar, narrated by Nasa'i and others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us to say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman. O Allah, decorate us, adorn us with the decoration of iman. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he says, an iman, there is nothing like it on the face of the earth. It's the only true, absolute blessing. Any other blessing in your life, any privilege you may enjoy is relative. Wealth, status, family, kids, health, could be for you, could be against you, could have cons, except for iman. It is purely good, purely beneficial, purely enjoyable. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he goes as far as to say, and there is nothing that exists in this world that resembles the bliss, the delights of paradise, except one thing, and that is the bliss of iman, of true faith. So when iman gets entrenched in a person's heart, gets deeply rooted, it takes a person to new heights, emotionally, intellectually. It refines their heart, their mind, all of it, when it gets deeply rooted. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the tree of faith, and he says, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتْ, its roots are firm, وَفَرْعُهَا, it takes him to heights, new heights. And its branches are in the skies. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. And it gives off fruits, this beautiful tree, all year round, not seasonal, by permission from its Lord. And so you get an endless supply of the sweetest fruits through iman. And that's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three things, whomever possesses them, in the hadith of Anas and Bukhari and Muslim, he will taste with them the sweetness of iman. Because the tree of faith gives off fruits, and fruits are sweet. And the most delicious experience we know, or the most agreed upon enjoyment we know, is sweetness. And so, three qualities, whomever has them, will taste those fruits. It will mean that the iman is deeply rooted and the tree is vibrant, blossoming. The first of them, the point of our discussion, for Allah and His Messenger to become more beloved to that person than everything else combined. That's when you get a glimpse of the hereafter, a glimpse of bliss. And learning to love Allah Azza wa Jal and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a lifelong mission. The second half of it, loving the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I want to begin with today. Why would we love him? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's begin with his name. As the poet, he says, أَغَرٌ عَلَيْهِ لِلنُّبُوَّةِ خَاتَمٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَشْهُودٌ يَلُوحُ وَيَشْهَدُ. He is the man with the radiant face. Upon him is the seal of prophethood that was endowed upon him by Allah, by which he declares and testifies to his genuinity. وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ النَّبِيَّ إِلَىٰ إِسْمِهِ إِذْ قَالَ فِي الْخَمْسِ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَشْهَدُ. Imagine that. The God of might paired his name with his own name. Every single time the muadhin says ashhadu, he mentions Allah, then he mentions him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa shaqqa lahu min ismihi liyujillahu fa dhul arshi mahmudun wa hadha muhammadu. And then he extracts for him from his own name a name, because the bearer of the throne is Mahmud, he is the most praised, and this is Muhammad, this is the praised one, the man whose name was a prophecy. Who is praised like him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? And then from there, let's move on, that Muhammad doesn't just mean the praised one. Go back to the word hamd, and Muhammad and hamd, the connection is obvious in the pronunciation. Go back to the meaning of alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen in the tafsir books, Ibn Kathir, and otherwise you'll find this explanation. That hamd is not just praise, because thana in Arabic is praise. But hamd incorporates two meanings, a loving praise and a loving thanks. So that will explain to you, by virtue of his name, why you love him. Because you admire him, you praise him for who he is, that's one thing. But then you thank him, meaning for what he did for you. So this is the formula to learning how and nourishing that love and cultivating it. You love him for who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then you love him for what he did for you. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. As for loving him for who he is, that's something that's completely easy. Allah Azza wa Jal took the most beautiful attributes of every single prophet and combined them in one man, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man whose beauty was internal and external. The Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, we said we saw him smile on a night when the moon was full, and we couldn't tell what was brighter, his face or the moon, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A man who had the most challenging life ever, and yet he was never caught except that he was smiling. And a person can only do that when he smiles from within, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As his poet Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu an said about him, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِي وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء. He says, and better than you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my eye has never seen, and more beautiful than you, no woman has ever given birth to. You were created void of every flaw, every defect, as if you were created the way you wanted, as if you custom made yourself, as if you had a checklist, a choice as to how you were going to come out, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I mean, can you imagine, you know, of the most beautiful reflections I've seen on the verse, when the Lord of greatness, the Lord of might, says, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim, you are upon great character, great khuluq. They say the word khuluq, character, just to understand its depth, is a relative of the word khalq, creation. So you as a human being, you have a creation, external features, and you have a khuluq, internal features. He was great from within. So meaning these are not just manners. You know when someone curses you out and you withhold from cursing them back, that's called restraint. You had some manners in this incident, right? But when someone curses you and you honestly don't find it in yourself, it is not of me, I cannot return that, reciprocate that, that's khuluq, right? It's part of who you are. So he was great, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his external features and in his internal, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Jarir radiallahu anhu says that since the day I became Muslim, this is the head of the state he's talking about, the busiest man on the planet, never did he bar me from reaching him. I'd come to his house, he'd come out for me, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This was a man that had everything at his disposal. And never once did he compete with anyone for dunya, for worldly matters. Whether it's wealth, reputation, having the last say, never. And when dunya came to him, he would call the people to share it with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He shared with them his wealth, he shared with them his life. And he gave precedence to their lives over his. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh says, when the battle would intensify, kunna naludhu bi rasulillah. We used to like seek shelter, cover behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not some commander, some emperor sending his armies forward as he sits there lavished. We would seek shelter behind him, and he would be the closest of us to the enemy. Wa kana ashaddu an-nasi ba'sa. And he was the greatest of warriors sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it wasn't just his life. It was his wealth even when he had a need for it. Not when it was just easygoing times. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahl ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, a woman gave a hulla, a cloak, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, muhtajan ilayha, in a time when he was in need of it. He needed it. He was cold, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so a man from the Ansar, I believe, he came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, ma ajmal hadhi al-hulla, how beautiful this cloak is, uksuniha, like, let me wear it. Can I have it? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes off the hulla, and he puts it on this man, and the man walks away. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives me, leaves. Of course, the Sahaba were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave out of respect, but they wanted to bite the guy's head off, figuratively speaking. So when they left, they said to him, and this is the point of reference, how dare you ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his cloak when you knew it was given to him and you knew he needed it here, and you knew that he never gets, you know that he never gets asked for something and says no. You know that. And then he explained to them, I wasn't trying to be inconsiderate, disrespectful, but I wanted it to be my kafan. I wanted to shroud myself in it when I died. Something that touched the skin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was Ridwanullahi alayhi. Al-Imam Ahmad, he narrates from Qurra ibn Iyas al-Muzani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that there used to be a man, you hear me cite this hadith all the time, perhaps one of my very favorite hadith in the entire sunnah. A man used to always bring his son to the masjid that he loved abnormally, above average. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam noticed this and he said to him, Atuhibbu, you love this kid, like how much? So he said to him, Ya Rasulallah, أَحَبَّكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا أُحِبُّ. May Allah love you the way I love this kid. Meaning if Allah loves you the way I love him, there's nothing after that. Then the man stops attending the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed. Can you imagine? Head of the state, right? Commander of the armies. The greatest professor that every fiqh rule you ever learned goes back to. The judge in the disputes. Married to 9 wives, with their in-laws and the family relations, all of it. He noticed the guy's not coming anymore. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a heart. And he said, where is he? They said, Ya Rasulallah, his son died. He said, go get him. They bring him forward. He said to him, أَمَا تَرْضَى أَلَّا تَأْتِيَ بَابٍ مِّنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا سَبَقَكَ إِلَيْهِ يَفْتَحُهُ لَكَ. Wouldn't you accept that you not approach one of the doors of paradise, except that this kid outraces you to it and opens it for you? He said, Radit, I accept. The man was on the brink of his faith, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was akin to that. He was aware, he was alert, vigilant about that. He even had time to remember the people whose names we don't know. It's not even then. In Sahih al-Bukhari, this hadith has many beautiful narrations, and Muslim as well and elsewhere. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw a dream last night. In it, I saw a beautiful palace. erected in front of me and a beautiful woman outside washing herself, tatawadda, washing herself. I said, whose palace is this? They said, O Messenger of Allah, this is the palace of Umar ibn Khattab. They said to him, this is the palace of Umar ibn Khattab. He said, فَتَذَكَّرْتُ غَيْرَتَكَ يَا عُمَرُ. I remember that you're a jealous man, O Umar. So I turned away and I ran. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he breaks down crying. And he says, أَوَ عَلَيْكَ أَوْمِنْكَ أَغَارُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Like, you should have told me more. I want to know what it looks like. I'm going to be jealous of you, O Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And what I really want to highlight about knowing who he was is that it wasn't easy. Like, Allah Azza wa Jal goes to great lengths for us to explain to us in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. A human being. A human being. Meaning he wasn't an angel. You know why? Because if he was an angel, you would admire him, but you wouldn't be able to relate to him. But when he's a human being, you can admire him and relate. Like, it was not an easy task for him to do all of this. In Sahih Muslim, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, هل كان يصلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو قاعد? Did the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray while seated? She said, نعم بعدما حطمه الناس. She said, yes, after the people broke him, like crushed him, wore him out. His heart was too big for his body, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. His body couldn't keep up, meaning. And that's why it's just not a surprise when you read about the final day and that a very emotional moment when he's plucked sallallahu alayhi wasallam out of their lives and he was their life to them. You know, Abu Dhu'ayb al-Hudhali, he says, I approached Medina and it was roaring like the roaring of Hajj. You know, in Hajj everyone's saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. It's place is shaking. He said, Medina was shaking like Hajj from weeping. And I said, what happened? He said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. That's what happened. Taken out of their lives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq comes out of the house and he confirms it. He says, فَعُقِرْتُ حَتَّى لَا تَقِلُّنِي رِجْلَاي. I felt my legs go out from under me. He became emotionally paralyzed. The strong man Umar. The champion Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas ibn Malik says, when we buried him, we could no longer recognize our hearts. Like, we didn't even know who we were anymore. We're like orphans all of a sudden, right? Abdullah ibn Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Oh Allah, take my vision now, so I never have to see anybody after your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Al-Mutanabbi, the poet, he says words that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deserves more than anybody. Not for some cheap love story. He says, and this mirrors the condition of the Sahaba really, and should mirror our condition, but we have to get ourselves there. He says, أَرُوحُ وَقَدْ خَتَمْتَ عَلَى فُؤَادِي بِحُبِّكَ أَن يَحِلَّ بِهِ سِوَاكَ. I proceed onwards. I go on with my life after you. But you have already sealed on my heart with loving you. Nobody else can fit there anymore. فَلَوْ أَنِّي اسْتَطَعْتُ خَفَضْتُ طَرْفِي فَلَمْ أَنظُرْ بِهِ حَتَّى أَرَاكَ. He said, if I were able, I would just lower my gaze, close my eyes, and not look with them again until I get to see you. أُحِبُّكَ لَا بِبَعْضِ بَلْ بِكُلِّ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُبْقِ حُبُّكَ لِي حِرَاكَ. He says, I love you with all of me, not with a part of me. Even if loving you leaves no more movement left in me, even if it leaves me paralyzed, it's the decor of my life. It's the lacing of my heart. But again, it's not just about who he was, because you know, admiring him just for who he was, newsflash, even the non-Muslims do that. Read what Michael Hart and Mahatma Gandhi and Bernard Shaw, and you know the list. On the da'wah pamphlets you give out. They admired him. You see, you're a believer. You believe that he is your roadmap to Jannah. You believe that he was the greatest favor Allah bestowed upon humanity with that Quran that he brought. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Indeed, Allah has conferred a great favor upon you believers by sending for you a messenger from amongst you, someone you can relate to, that recites to you his verses and shows you how to purify yourself and teaches you the book and the wisdom. And before he came, you were in clear error. Even until today, before his guidance arrives in our lives, we are lost, captives of our fears. Our minds are not yet liberated. We don't have the cures to the most pressing ailments. We don't have any of that. And you think it was easy for him, by the way, to come and just recite to us the verses of Allah and purify us? It wasn't easy. Zayd ibn Thabit says, once I used to write the Quran for him, the wahi, he was of his scribes. His leg was on my leg, and the revelation would come down. This is just receiving it, not even spreading it, until my thigh was going to burst from the weight of his thigh. He says, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, was on his camel, and the revelation continued coming down, and the camel buckled to its knees. And they said, we used to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beat up with sweat on his forehead. On the coldest days, we knew revelation was coming down. It wasn't easy for him to even to receive it, and then to spread it, then to make sure the Ummah memorized it and knew its value and didn't do with it what Banu Israel did with their books. The earth drank from his blood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the deen would come to us, so that we wouldn't be prisoners of our own doubts and desires. He stayed up at night crying for us. We don't even get up at night crying for ourselves. Before you were created, he did this. He would get up and say, oh Allah, my ummah, oh Allah, my ummah, oh Allah, my ummah. Jibreel alayhi salam comes and says, Allah has heard you. And he says, oh Muhammad, we're going to please you regarding your ummah. You will not be disappointed. That's why one of the scholars of Islam, he said, to me, the most hopeful verse in the book of Allah is when Allah Azza wa Jal said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will surely give you until you are pleased. He said, for me, there's nothing after that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be pleased with a member of his ummah entering the hellfire. One final hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Hisham in Sahih al-Bukhari. He says that he was taking Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu by the hand once, and they were walking, and he said to him, oh Messenger of Allah, I love you more than everybody but myself, wallahi. Some scholars said he said except myself, because the verse says you must love him more than everything. Doesn't mention yourself, it mentions everything but that. Others said he was just being overly critical because he swore, didn't want to swear about a lie. He was just being critical of himself, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, no, O Umar, your iman is not complete until I am dearer to you than yourself. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, you are dearer to me than myself. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah, he says, you know what that means? That he's not talking about Umar turning a switch and changing his emotions. This is talking about the deliberate, intentional love. Like loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't just an emotional experience. What Umar is saying, radiallahu anhu, I love you, meaning I prefer you over myself now. Because that means you love him more. When you do that, this will make you feel closer to him, feel his value more. And so you will prefer him some more, and then it just becomes this beautiful cycle. That's your take-home homework, right? Learn more and more about his life. You know, when we were sitting earlier in the lecture, Dr. Hatim's program, it really struck a chord with me how he, hafidhahullah, when he pulled together so many different narrations, eyewitnesses from the same incident, what kind of experience that provides. That's just a sacrifice. Make this sacrifice for yourself now. I'm going to really fight to understand the context. That's an act of worship now. I want to understand exactly what it looked like, the situations, right? I'm not going to treat the matter casually. I'm going to prefer what he wants and who he is over what I want and who I am. And then check for the signs. If you love someone, it's easy to sacrifice, easy to follow their sunnah, easy to find yourself identifying with those that identify with the same things. And perhaps there's time for just one last hadith. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشَدُّ أُمَّتِي حُبًّا لِي نَاسٌ يَكُونُونَ بَعْدِي يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يَرَانِي بِأَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ. Indeed, among my ummah, just to give you hope, this is very possible. Not just the sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. Among the people in my ummah that will have the most intense, passionate love for me are people that will come after me. It's you guys. May Allah include us among them. People that come after me, one of them would wish that he could just see me, see my face, in exchange for all his family and all his wealth. You can bring yourself to that level. That's not demanded of you to do that. So much less is asked of you. And you can do it, and you will do it, so that you can save yourself and save the world around you. You know, they say that in Jahiliyyah, we used to worship these stones, these idols. They were so lost. Whenever we found another idol, we would leave the first one and go run after this one. And now the idols are replaced with ideologies, ideas. We're so sure that this is right. And then we see another one, okay. And we go grab that one. And we worship our minds. And we have no fruit to atoll for that. And we know that deep down inside. May Allah make us of those that understand the value of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the value of his guidance, the decor that believing in him can offer our hearts and our lives. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakallahu khairan.